Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 137 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. You know, I'm often asked by guests who visit our tennis club who our club's best player is. I mean, the fact is, we have a lot of good players, men and women, from teenagers to those in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Excluding the D1 players, who are a notch or two higher than our advanced level recreational and club players, it's a pretty tough call. Now, my typical response to the question is it depends on who's playing, because it's all about the matchups. Now, matchups are nothing new. It comes into play at every level. But unlike players at the professional level, those at the recreational level typically do not possess as complete or nearly the depth and breadth of arsenal. And this is the main reason why, for many recreational players, a weakness in their game is truly a weakness and should be easily exploitable by comparable level players. Well, theoretically at least. And this is where matchups come into play. As I've talked about in previous podcasts, it's one thing to know or understand what an opponent's weaknesses are. To be able to effectively exploit them is another matter. As I discussed in podcast episodes number 6 and 13, what I encourage my players to do first and foremost is to take an honest inventory of their games, tendencies, strengths, and weaknesses, or TSWs for short. Making a true assessment of your game is a major part of the process, an essential starting point for understanding your matchups. The next step is to identify and assess your opponent's TSWs. Last and certainly not least, and probably the most critical part, is figuring out how your TSWs match up to those of your opponents. At the end of the day, you've got to figure out how to exploit your opponent's weaknesses without compromising your strengths, or before your own weaknesses are exposed. Now, let me just put this out there. All players have at least some weakness or aspect of their game that is not as strong or polished as the rest of their game. That said, it does not necessarily mean that the weakness is easy to exploit. And the most common mistake I see from recreational players is a tendency to get away from what they do best when they attempt to play to the opponent's weaknesses. They essentially overplay it, and what often results is they unintentionally take themselves out of their own game plan and they get away from what they do best. I see this very regularly at the local park and tennis club. Recently, I was watching a men's singles match between a couple of 4.5 level players, both under 35 years old and with whom I'm very familiar. Let's call them Tom and Jerry. And yes, I am taking this opportunity to pay homage to one of my favorite cartoons growing up, but I digress. So Tom is a lanky player who is very solid from the baseline. He's like a ball machine, rarely misses. He hits the ball relatively flat, but not particularly hard. His game is centered on baseline consistency and counterpunching. For a 4.5 level player, if there's one glaring weakness in his game, it's his serve, which is average at best. Now, Jerry is a more diminutive player who is lightning quick around the court and can hit explosive ground strokes, but usually only when the opponent provides the energy and pace on the ball. Otherwise, Jerry will play a fairly conservative and consistent baseline game. Despite the differences in their physical attributes and abilities, when Tom and Jerry play each other, they end up playing a very similar style of game, which, you know, sad to say, is often an uninspiring game of rally ball attrition. And this is due largely to how they match up. For example, even though Tom's serve is vulnerable and attackable, its lack of pace and penetration does not really match up well for Jerry, as he prefers to return balls hit with bigger pace and action. Neither player is offensive-minded nor has the natural inclination nor tools to take the offensive in rallies. So what you end up with is a match between two counterpunchers, each of whom will wait the other one out, essentially wait for the other to take the initiative. And again, it turns out this way due largely to this particular matchup. Now, case in point, I've seen Jerry play matches against offensive-minded players who serve and strike the ball a lot harder and more aggressively than Tom. And it's like watching a completely different player. Against these offensive-minded players, Jerry will play aggressively from all parts of the court and does not play a counterpunching style as he does when he plays against Tom. Now, this is another example of understanding matchups. As I mentioned earlier, Jerry likes to hit against balls that are amped with pace and action. The faster action seems to free him up and allow his game and athleticism to flow more naturally. Now, some of Jerry's opponents have recognized that the more pace and action with which they hit the ball, the more aggressive and better Jerry seems to play. So what I've seen some of them try to do is junk ball him, hit a lot of off-speed, medium-paced, and dink-and-dunk type of shots. Now, sounds like a reasonable approach, right? The problem is, none of these players are actually comfortable hitting those type of shots. In fact, I would go as far as to say that those type of shots have never been a part of their regular arsenal, and are certainly not what they would deem as go-to shots. What often results is these offensive-minded players end up losing themselves a bit, and getting away from what they do best, which is attacking and hitting aggressively, not dinking and dunking. And this is the classic overplay I referred to earlier in the podcast. Players try to exploit an opponent's weakness without regard for how it matches up with their own set of tendencies, strengths, and weaknesses. They often end up out of sync and compromising their own level of play. Folks, the bottom line is if you hope to gain a firm grasp of your matchups for every opponent you play, you've got to go beyond simply taking inventory of your own and your opponent's tendencies, strengths, and weaknesses. You've got to know what you do and don't do well. Ask the same questions regarding your opponent's game, then figure out how to go about exploiting your opponent's weaknesses without compromising what you do well. That is what understanding matchups is about. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.